And I've been thinking over recent weeks about this autumn series, and I wanted to mix it up a little bit. And we're having a series over the coming weeks, and for those of you who were with us just for today, you know, forgive me, but you're right at the start of it. And it's entitled Life's Too Short. Life's Too Short. And when I was thinking about that, I like the internet. And I thought to myself, I'll just Google in Life's Too Short. And up come some of these images, okay, which you're going to see on the slide. And some of them made me smile. Some of them made me laugh, actually. And some of them just made me think. All right, okay? So for those who will be listening on the MP3, Life's Too Short to Waste Time Matching Socks. I think that's what it says, isn't it? Yeah. Anybody relate to that? Okay, let's have a look at the next one. I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. What a waste of space that is, and a waste of time. This one is a series of ads in Germany, okay, about tough jobs. And I don't know if you can see it there, but you've got this little boy who's in this truck, you know, by the supermarket, and you've got the guy working it underneath. And it says there, life's too short for the wrong job. Yeah, okay. Let's look at the next one. Life is too short to be serious all the time, so if you can't laugh at yourself, call me, I'll laugh at you. I've got some friends who are just like that. It's great. Okay, this one's a bit more serious. Life is too short, so love the one you've got. Love the one you've got. For those of us who are married here, just do it. Just do it. Okay, next one. Life is too short to start your day with broken pieces of yesterday. It will definitely destroy your wonderful today and ruin your great tomorrow. True, isn't it? Knowing it is very different to living it, though. Okay, so look at another one. Life is short, smile while you still have teeth. I just love that. Absolutely love that one. Okay, I think we've got another one. Okay, I love this face. I just love this face. Life is too short to waste time hating anyone. Look at that little face. It's incredible, isn't it? Life is too short to spend it at war with yourself. And that's from a campaign of Live Life Happy, okay? And this is my favorite one. That is my favorite one, okay? And the answer is, no, that was not me in that picture, okay? It was Chris Parsons. Right, okay, fine. So over the coming weeks, we're going to have... we're going to have a look at this thing about life's too short. And this morning, the theme is life's too short to miss it. Which sounds bonkers. You know? How can you miss it? You know what I mean? You turn up every day while we're alive anyway. But it's so easy to miss it. There's a poem. I'm not into poetry massively, but perhaps I haven't found the poetry I can relate to. But this is a piece of writing by a guy called Joseph Mazzella. And it's entitled Today. And this is just the first verse. It says, people always love to talk about yesterdays, and people always love to dream about tomorrow. But the truth is that life can only be lived today. Yesterdays can give us wonderful memories or pain, and tomorrow can give us great hopes. But today is where we are. Today is where we live. This resonates with me, and the reason is because I'm quite old now. I'm 53. But when I was about 23, I know I look older. I understand that. But when I was about 23, and I was on that corporate bit, you know what I mean, where you were just trying to get up the ladder as quickly as you could. I wasn't a minister back then. I had a sentence which started with one day. One day. One day, Sue, when we've got a bit more money. One day, when we've paid the mortgage off. One day, when the kids are a bit older. One day. And the problem with one day is that it's a bit of a fantasy. The one day becomes another day. And so actually what I was finding was that instead of living and actually enjoying the moment, my life was being lived in the future tense. And there are too many of you who live there. Kids obviously relate to what I'm saying, because if you have kids and you go on a journey, what do they say? We don't train them to say this. They say, are we there yet? Okay, nobody teaches them that. But they all say the same thing. You see, because for them, the journey is not important. The only thing that's important is destination. And I just wonder if they've learned that from us. See, because now in the journey is not the significant. It's where you're heading. And for the young professionals, this is a cancer that eats away at our soul. Robs us of the life that, frankly, the only life that we have. There's a newsflash coming up, I think. Yeah, that's pretty naff, isn't it? You got now. You haven't even got this afternoon. For sure as heck, you ain't got tomorrow. But how many of us live in the present, in the now, sucking the life out of the moments that God has given us? I want you to listen to these blunt words from the Bible. And one of the reasons why people don't read the Bible, because it's so blunt, really speaks to us, and it demands a response. Here's some of the words. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. He says, why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What's your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. But how many of us can relate to that kind of sentence, Johnny? Heck alive, I'm looking at my planner and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we're already into 2014. Newsflash. We got now. We've got now. There's another story that Jesus tells, which is actually even more forceful. And it's about a guy who's focused. Yeah, he's focused, but he's focused on the wrong things. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Jesus told him this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. Now, I must be honest, as I'm reading this first part, I'm thinking, that makes a lot of sense. It's the way I think. Verse 19, I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things, things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourselves? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. God is saying to us is that if you live life devoid of what is absolutely real, and of course God is reality, you're missing out the most significant and important thing in your life. And we stuff our lives full of all sorts of things. But God says, unless you make a connection with me, your creator, you're up the creek without a paddle. So some of us miss out on life because we're constantly living in the future tense. But some of us actually are missing out on life, not because we're looking forward, but because of the fact that we're looking back. I want to put up that slide again, what we read a bit earlier about broken pieces of yesterday. Life is too short to start your day with broken pieces of yesterday. It'll definitely destroy your wonderful today and ruin your great tomorrow. Now, I know those of you over a certain age, you'll understand what I'm talking about, because you'll understand about brokenness. You'll understand about fractures. You'll understand about scars. Some of these are physical and can be seen. Others are more dangerous. They're unseen, and they're spiritual or emotional. Now, I've discovered, okay, I've got three kids, and I've discovered that in the world there are two kinds of people. There are those like this, who travel light, and then there are others. I have three children. Jonathan is like the former. He, in fact, if he's going away, he can pack everything in a sock. Do you know what I mean? That's all he needs. Emma. Emma's more like this individual, okay? A few years back, we were going on holiday together to America, and I made the mistake of saying, I'll take your bags in. I used to have short arms. Look at them now. I tell you what, the moment I could put those bags down, I put them down. But this is the thing, okay? This is the thing. What I've discovered is that too many of us hold on to weights, okay, far longer than we ever should. And those weights are called bitterness and they're called resentment. But we hold on to them. And in a perverse way, we've held on to them for so long, they almost become part of us. We almost look after them. Think about the language that people use. They talk about nursing a grudge. What do you do when you nurse? You hold it close to your heart. Or we talk about harboring resentment. Now, I'm not a boat person. I went out with Mike a couple of years back, and Mike discovered I'm not a boat person. He gave me pills to come back so I wouldn't throw up everywhere. Sorry about that lovely image. But I'm not a boat person. But what I like doing, and I don't know why I like doing this, but I love going to sea boats. I like going down to the bay. And there's a part of the bay where you can go and you can hear them all tinkling about, can't you? They make that little sound, don't they, as they're bobbing about. See, because when I'm thinking about harbouring resentment, for me, a harbour is a safe place. But a harbour is also a place that, what I've noticed, is a place where you take your friends. You might do a little maintenance there. Mike knows you might do a lot of maintenance there. And that's the sick and sad thing about resentment and bitterness, is that you don't go on your own, you take others with you. And you have a great big pity party. And it grows. And you're missing today because of the brokenness of yesterday. And the day before that, and the day before. I started to write down a list of the things that are authors of resentment and bitterness. Right towards the top of mine was betrayal. When a man or a woman takes your heart and puts it in a blender. And you've got to try and put your heart back together again. The scars of divorce. The death of somebody who should not have died at that time. Does anybody die at the right time? But you know what I mean? I remember when I was down in Tynmouth and I kept burying teenagers and babies. And I said to Sue, I can't do this anymore. It just seems so wrong. Stuff can get in behind our rib cages and do things that others don't realize, but it's changing us. It's closing us down. It's damaging us. So we cannot live and enjoy today. And Jesus is saying to you this morning, through me, his servant, I can give you your today's back. You don't have to live with the haunting reality of yesterday. I can give you today's back so that tomorrow you might be able to breathe more deeply and sing more readily. There's a woman that is a hero of mine. She's dead now. She's gone to be with Jesus. And she had the most traumatic experience back in the Second World War. I won't go into the story. You know so many horrible stories of the Second World War. But just to say that she lost everything that she prized. She lost her father. She lost her brother. And she lost her very precious sister. A sister died in a concentration camp with her. I can't begin to imagine what that does to your heart. And then, shortly after the war, Corrie, her name is Corrie Ten Boom. She was going on a circuit of trying to speak reconciliation between the Dutch and the German people. And on this one particular occasion, she was coming down off the platform where she was speaking about forgiveness. And she was a woman qualified to speak about that. And as she came off the platform, a person coming towards her was a person she recognized as a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp who had been particularly cruel to her sister. The guard held out her hand. And Corrie recoiled, just as we would. And she heard the words of God saying to her, "Corrie, if I can forgive this person, I will give you the strength if you ask me to forgive them." Read the book. The book's called Hiding Place. You can download it onto Kindle, get it off Amazon, go to a Christian bookshop, whatever. Get the book. One of the things that she writes in this book is this: forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hate. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. He who cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass. I'm not trying to be trite. Forgiveness is a big deal. But so is the loss of your today. And it's in your hands if you will place your hands in the hand of God. I want to finish with this amazing verse, which speaks to me. It talks about creation. It talks about a new creation. It's about what God is able to do to you. See, because I know you've been born, but actually the Bible talks about the opportunity of being reborn, a new creation. And what it's saying is that I can take the broken bits, and if you give me all those broken bits, it's amazing what I can build with them. That's what he's saying. And Paul says this to the church at Corinth: when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. And so my invitation is, if you can relate to this thing of missing life, like me, grasp it today. How do you do that? You might know some people here who are Christians. Why don't you ask them to pray with you? If you don't know anybody, why don't you come and ask me? Or I can put you in touch with some other people here who can just pray with you. Not in front of everybody else. You can go to a quiet place. An important place. Where it's just you, this other person, God, and your today. Shall we pray?